Why don't you turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I know the emphasis for this week and probably really this entire fall season is reaching our community. We all have a great responsibility. We have great opportunities to take the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to every single person that we possibly can. You know, the Bible says, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are what? White, already unto the harvest. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is, the harvest is past, we aren't saved. We're all living for something in this room. Every single one of us, we have a mission in life. And I'm not sure what your mission is. I know for some of you, it's to finish college, and that's a good mission. You ought to finish that. And I know for some, it's finding a wife or finding a husband. That's a good mission. But even more important than that, we need to realize that God has us here for a reason. There's a purpose for us to be here. And I think of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I think of his life, and you know, you go to different companies and different churches, and I'm sure your college has a mission statement. Our college is training laborers for the harvest field. I mean, that's a whole goal. And so as we think about this, I think of our Savior, and I believe that a verse that really defines maybe his mission statement for his life is Luke 19:10. Let's look at it. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, I pray that you'd bless our time now. And I know these students have chapel services after chapel services, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet with us. Father, I have nothing to give to these students. But Lord, I yield my life to you. And I pray that you would impress your will upon every heart and every life. And may we be yielded. May we not resist. But may we thirst to know and to be used by our mighty God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Our mission as a church, as a college, individually, is to evangelize the world with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter number 3, verse 17, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 14, 6, Jesus said this, I am the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I love what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. How many of our sinners out there? We all sinners. Of whom, Paul said, of I am chief. Now, since Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior of this world, right? There's not multiple ways to heaven. There's only one. It's a narrow way. Jesus, I am the way. Now, there may be many ways to get, you know, from Midway Airport to here, but to get from here to heaven, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ must be declared so that others would know what he has done for them. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye. All right, ye is you, and that's me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen, we've all seen some people that we would say, okay, that person fits that verse right there. That's a creature, okay? All right, I remember I was door knocking in West Palmdale, which would be in our valley a little bit of a higher end. And as I walked up this door, I knocked on this door, and just I kind of looked through the window of that was on top of the door, and I kind of looked in, and I saw this gentleman come bounding down the stairs. And it kind of caught me a little bit off guard because he had one of those mohawk hairdos, okay? Now, I've seen those before, but this one had all these different colors in it. I mean, every little bound of hair, I guess, just was like orange and pink and purple and red and yellow and blue and green. It was like, whoa. And so I told myself, don't look at his hair when you start talking to him. Right, don't do that, okay? Just like kind of ignore it. And so he opened up the door, and I'm kind of saying, hi, my name is Jerry from Lancaster Baptist Church. And kept looking at his hair. And I'm telling myself, don't do that. And then it just kind of came out. Did you ever ask yourself, why did I say that? Well, that's why I said, I'm sorry. I said, that is a unique hairdo. I said, I have never seen anybody with that style before. I said, you are creative. And he started laughing at me, and guess what happened? It just broke the ice. And I was able to share the gospel with him, and guess what? That creature, all right, got saved. Amen. Now, when I saw him coming down the stairs, I'm thinking, there's no way that creature is going to get saved. And I said, he certainly needs to get saved, but thank God he did accept Christ as his Savior. Now, we think about our Savior. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we're going to kind of break this verse down. This is going to be really simple, okay? You're going to remember this. But more than remembering, I pray that you would allow the Spirit of God to challenge your heart. I pray that this chapel service would really radically change this college and how it views this community. Because right now, listen, this is your mission field. Okay? Not the Philippines, not Mexico, right? Not Canada, not Ireland, but this community right here, this is your mission field. So when you leave this campus, you are entering into the mission field. So we see, first of all, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So first of all, I want you to notice the reality. Jesus came. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, just think about that. Jesus left the glories of heaven, and he stepped onto this planet for this purpose, and that was to fulfill the will of the Father for his life. You know, the Bible says that for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse number 10, it's your theme verse for, I think, this fall season. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. May I remind you of that? That is Satan's passion. That's his mission statement. He wants to come, he wants to steal from you. He wants to steal the truth that God's placed into your heart. He wants to steal that from you. He wants to kill all your dreams and desires of living for Christ. He wants to kill that. And then he wants to destroy your testimony. That's his missionary. That's his mission. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. Aren't you thankful for that? Are you saved this morning? Aren't you thankful that you have that eternal life? But here it is. Listen, Christ did not just come to give us life. He's come so that we might have the abundant life, the overflowing life, the satisfying life, the sense of fulfillment. And I'm so thankful that Christ came, and we need to acknowledge that Christ has come and that he has given us this wonderful life, but also we need to anticipate his coming. I'm sure you sing this song, Jesus is coming again. Listen, we need to realize that one day, oh, that trumpet's going to sound. Now, we heard some wonderful trumpets this morning, but there's going to be that trumpet that's a sound, and guess what? We're going to leave this world. Man, first class, amen? And so we're going to be raptured out of this world. We need to be anticipating his coming. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We had, and had is a key word, we had a great dog. His name was Jet. Jet was jet black. He was a Labrador, and he was probably our best dog. And Jet would just wait at our gate until we got home. Now, all our kids are raised, and we thought, you know, my wife and I said, you know, why don't we get a dog? And so we got this black Labrador, and it was, man, it was a beautiful dog. And Jet would just sit at that gate. It seemed like he just knew what time we were coming home. And as we pulled the car in, you could see him just stand up. He'd get all excited. He'd be wagging his tail. And he kind of had that little, you know, bark. He was so excited. He was anticipating our coming. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you anticipate his coming? Do you even think about it? Is it even a part of your thought process when you wake up in the morning? Today could be the day. This might be the day that Jesus calls us home. Oh, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, we see the reality. Jesus has come. But number two, we see the resolve. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Have you ever lost something before? How many ever? How about your term paper? All right. Your homework, okay? All right, you ever lost something? I don't know about this. How many parents do we have in here? Do we have parents? Okay. How many ever lost a child before? Do you ever do that? All right. I have. Okay. We were in L.A. and we were flying back to Chicago. We were going to visit our family, and we were at the I can't remember what terminal we were at. I think it might have been American, but we were there, and our youngest son was probably 3 years old, okay, about three, maybe four, and my wife said, Jacob has to go to the bathroom. Can you take him? I said, of course I can. And you know how wives are sometimes. She said, now you know it's an airport. Don't lose him. Hello, you know. We already purchased his ticket. Why would I lose him? And I said, of course. And then she kind of gave me another zinger. Now, sometimes you get distracted. You start talking to people. I said, honey, don't worry. I'm a great dad. I'm not going to lose my son at the airport. So come on, Jay, let's go to the bathroom. So we went in the restroom, and he went to a stall, and I went to, you know, do my thing. So I'm washing my hands. I'm like, okay, wow, he must be pretty busy. So I remember what stall he went in, so I kind of walked over there. And you know, he was so small, you could tell, you know, the feet don't touch the ground. You know, but when I went to that stall, I looked, the feet were touching the ground. And they were like a size 12. Anyway, I know kids grow up fast, but they didn't grow up that fast. And so I thought, well, maybe I missed the song. So I went to another, and there was another size 10, and I'm thinking, okay, where's he at? And okay, he's probably outside of the restroom, so I kind of walk out, and he's not there. And I said, okay, he probably went to sit by mom. So I go over there, and I saw mom. Her back was towards me, praise the Lord. And Jacob wasn't there. So now this is not like, this is probably about 20 seconds, 30 seconds or so, not a long time. And so, you know, I'm going to find him. So I start kind of walking around. And I'm, you know, I'm Jacob, you know, a little bit louder. Now I'm getting a little nervous. And I couldn't find him. And so I came around the corner, and there she was. Mom. That same girl that I met when I was 15. Totally different experience right now. It was like, I don't know you, lady. She looked at me and she got this her index finger, I think it's like 12 feet long. She pointed it to me and she said, you lost him, didn't you? I said, well, I just can't find him right now. And so we started going around. We couldn't find him. And now, you know, she my wife, she started kind of had tears. He's on a plane going to Nicaragua. We'll never see him again. You know, they kidnapped him. And all of a sudden, you know, we're on, Jacob! And we're seeking. And all of a sudden, we heard on the loudspeaker, no lie, Brother Furso, would you please come to the TWA counter? Brother Furso, my son didn't even know my name. He thought my first name was Brother. You know, like, hello! Crazy. But here it is. Listen, we weren't going to stop seeking until we found him. Jesus said, I have come to seek. He's searching. And I pray that you and I, as we think about our mission of taking this wonderful, life-changing, transformational message that Jesus saves, I pray that we would be seeking to find lost people that God has already prepared their heart, and all they need to do is hear what Christ has done for them. Listen, how can they believe on him and whom they have not heard? Listen, there's many people throughout this community that they would take that step of faith and accept Christ, but they haven't heard the message yet. It's up to you, it's up to me to take this message to every single person that we possibly can. Jesus came to seek and to save. Oh, what a wonderful resolve that Christ has. I wonder this morning, do you have that same resolve in your heart today? May I challenge you, do not put soul winning in a little compartment called Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's where most college kids say, okay, I'm a soul winner from 10 o'clock to 12 on Saturday. Boy, we put God in a little box, don't we? Young people, we need to realize that we are a witness 24-7, 365 days of the year, and one more day on leap year, amen? God has called us to be his messengers and to share this wonderful message. I'm thankful that he's long-suffering, that he's not willing that any should perish. Oh, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now listen, that's God's heart. There's a lot of wicked people. But God's heart on them, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I was making a follow-up call on this man named Dan, and he lived in a little bit of a seedy area in East Palmdale. West Palmdale is for the more affluent people. East Palmdale is for the lower class. And his wife came to church, and we crossed paths, and she said, would you be willing to visit my husband? I said, I would love to do that. And so, normally going to those areas, honestly, Pastor, maybe it's just, I'm just naive, but I don't get scared. I mean, I just don't. You know, I'm God's servant, and you know, if God wants to call me home, fine. But my Sony partner, who's a police officer, now, he was nervous. And as we pulled into the area, he said, do you realize where we're at? I said, yeah, we're in East Palmdale. Why? He said, you know this is not a really good neighborhood. I said, yeah. I said, I'm not scared. Are you? And he goes, no, I'm not scared. I'm packing. All right? That means he had a gun, all right? And I said, okay, let's go. And so we walked up to the door, we knocked on the door, and the gentleman opened up the door, and he had a tattoo. Now I've seen tattoos. We've all seen tattoos now. But I've never seen this before. He had a tattoo tattooed on his neck, and the letters were probably 2 to 3 inches big. And it was the worst cuss word, right there. And when I saw that, it's almost like, that can't be it. No one would do that. And I looked again, and it was. He invited us in. We sat in the apartment in the living room, and I started sharing the gospel with Dan. And Dan said this to me. He said, now, Pastor, he said, I've done some really bad things in my life. He said, I'm not proud of it. I said, I've even done some time. I'm out now. I have a bracelet on. He said, but I'm lost. And I started sharing the gospel with him. When I got to Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I explained to him how much God loves him. And he said to me, he said, you know, I can see why God would love you and Frank, that was my partner. He said, but I don't think God would love me. He said, the reason why, I've just done too much. I've kind of, his words, I've crossed the line. And I showed him the verse. I said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I said, Dan, your sin might be a little deeper in your eyes than ours, but may I tell you, we're all sinners. But God's grace goes a little bit deeper than our sin. And as we talked, his eyes were open to the glorious gospel. And Dan prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. Now here, this is the coolest thing. I talked to him about baptism. And him and his wife and his daughter got saved. And they came to church. Now it was July or August, because it was one of those, you know, mild days in Lancaster. 115, okay? And he came to get baptized. And guess what he was wearing? The thickest turtleneck shirt you could ever see to cover his neck. And when I saw him, I put my arms around him and I hugged him. And I said, Dan, I am so excited for you and what God's doing in your life. He got baptized in that turtleneck, and he was so proud and so excited about just taking that step. Young people, there's Dans all around us. But sometimes we fail to see them. We look at people and think, they wouldn't be interested. They wouldn't want my Jesus. But I am so thankful that God is long-suffering. He's patient. And he pursues us. There was a man just recently. I met him. Unique name. His name is Friday. And I asked him, I said, how'd you get that name? He says, well, I was born on Friday. And my parents started calling me Friday. I said, wow. I said, do you have any siblings? They said, yeah. I said, are their names like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday? No, just me, just on Friday. And I said, okay, all right. Maybe they just ran out of names. And we laughed about it. But as we sat in his living room and sharing the gospel with them, Friday was your particular, you know, your normal religious, spiritual, but lost. And Friday just kept on, you know, I'm a good guy. And he was a good guy. He was a good guy. But we all know there's none that's good, right? So his goodness was compared to everybody else. But I said, Friday, listen, the Bible says that even our righteous deeds, I mean, our good attempts to live right and to do right and to be right, it's like filthy rags when we compare them to Jesus. And he just couldn't comprehend that, couldn't grasp that truth. And then I made another visit to his house, and another visit, probably about after about 7 or 8 visits to his house. It was a Thursday night. And the Lord gave me this verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. They were poor, it gives the idea of being bankrupt, being totally broke, poor. And I shared that verse with him. I said, Friday, I said, listen, God views us as being poor. We have nothing to offer to God. And we need to get to that point where we realize it's not me and Jesus doing it together, but it's Christ alone. And we put our faith in him. And for whatever reason, that verse really resonated in his heart. And what a joy to leave Friday to Christ and his daughter and his son. And it's just, you know, we need to have that resolve in our heart that we are going to do everything, humanly speaking, to take this message to every single person that we possibly can. So we see, for the Son of Man has come, the reality, to seek, we see the resolve, to save, that's the redemption. Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And I'm so thankful that he has provided salvation for us. Oh, there's so many illustrations I could think of people that they try to get on that religious treadmill and try to earn their way into heaven. Probably one of the first couples I led to Christ in Lancaster was Jerry and Julie Mercer. And the reason why I remember this, because as I was sharing the gospel with them, they were religious. They were Roman Catholics, and they were practicing Roman Catholics. I mean, they really tried to live out their teachings. And I began to share with them that salvation was a work of God's grace. And the light came on Jerry. He realized it. And then about 10 minutes more into sharing verses and trying to answer their questions, the light finally came on Julie. Now, I didn't know that at that time because she started crying. I mean, you've had people sharing the gospel, they have a tear come down. But this was like boo-hooing. I mean, like tears. I mean, like the faucet was running. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what to do because that never happened. I kind of looked at her husband, and he kind of just gave me one of these. Well, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with her. And so we just waited. And so she said, excuse me, I have to go get some Kleenex. And I'm thinking, you sure do. And so she went and she cleaned herself up a little bit. She came back in. She sat down. And her lips started to quiver. And I said, it's okay. And this is what she said. You don't understand. I'm 35 years old. And for my entire life, I've been trying to earn God's acceptance. And for the first time, because I knew in my heart that I was always coming up short. And I thought I just had to do a little bit more, try a little harder. But I realized there's no way that I could earn my entrance into heaven by what I do. But it's what he has done for me. And she looked at me, her eyes just were wide open, her countenance changed. She says, I'm ready to accept this gift. Now listen, Christ has paid the price. Listen, we've got the greatest message. Listen, don't shy away from it. Can I challenge? Don't be silent. Hey, does everybody get saved that I talk to? No. Hey, even Jesus, he went into his own, and his own what? Received him what? Not. But here it is. We need to be busy in getting that message out. And here's the reason. Because they're lost. You know, Pastor, I'm thankful. I struggled with it as a teenager, but I'm thankful for the way that I was brought up in this sense. I didn't grow up in a perfect home. I saw abuse. I saw alcohol. Experienced that. I know that side. I know how lost people could be because of the deceitfulness of sin and Satan. And guess what? That could be you or me if it weren't for the grace of God. But I'm so thankful for that. And I realize that people are just lost in their sin. You know, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them and are lost. Listen, if we don't share this, the truth of God's word to the lost people, that's why they're lost. But listen, not only are they lost, but they're blinded. They can't see. They're lost and they're blind. But you and I, we got the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got the answer right here. But here is, what are you doing with it? Are you hiding it from those that need it the most? Are you letting your light so shine? Are you allowing others to experience what you've experienced? Or are you just kind of keeping it to yourself? Listen, there's lost, blind people all around us. And guess what? They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for you. And all you have to do is go to their door. Talk to them at the park. Talk to them at Starbucks. Hey, can I say this? Starbucks is a great place to witness. You know why? They're all lost. They're all whacked out, and it's just a great place to talk to people. Right, here it is. We see the reality. Jesus has come. Amen. We see his resolve. He was seeking them out. We see the redemption. He's came to seek and to save. We see the reason, because they're lost. But it boils down to this. Here it is. What's our response? What are we going to do? I pray that we would not shy away from this moment in time to boldly, courageously, and faithfully declare Jesus. Let me ask each and every one of you, if you and I were just the only ones in the room, let me ask you, can you take one step in becoming a better witness? Can you take one more step? Would you be willing to have some gospel tracts on you everywhere you go? Would you be willing to say, you know what? Every day I'm going to at least pass out one tract to somebody. Maybe some of you are doing it. Say, okay, I'm going to share 5 tracts a day. But it's my mission, my mission, my response to what Jesus has done is to take a step and to be a better witness for him.